We're going to be talking on page 38 of your booklet about Know Yourself. You'll need that, and you also need your Bibles. So if you can have those ready. Our topic will be Knowing Yourself. And as we begin with that topic, I wanted to sing from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the B selection. Actually, why don't we do A and B? Psalm 19, the A selection, reminds us of how God has revealed himself in creation. And it begins with the skies declaring the glory of God, the firmament displaying his handiwork. Day after day, they pour forth speech, their knowledge every night they teach. Although they do not speak and utter not a word, though they know language use or voice can be heard, their message to the world they send, their word to earth's remotest end. And so what we find in the A selection is that God has revealed his glory in creation. So you look around and we learn about God as we study the creation. One of the things that illumines creation and God's glory for us is the sun. And we sing about the sun in stanza 3. In the heavens he has pitched a tent. He gave the sun its place. And so that the sun is one of the ways in which God's glory is declared, and it displays God's glory throughout the earth. The rising of the sun and its setting is displayed as an athlete. Look at verse 5. For those of you who are athletes, you'll know that I'm not much of an athlete after watching me try juggling yesterday. But and with an athlete's joy, it thrills to run its race. It rises glorious like a groom when he emerges from his room. So you have the rising and the setting of the sun where we see the glory of God. And then we'll be singing Psalm 19, the B selection. This is going to be our focus and knowing yourself. And here in the B selection, we learn that God has not only revealed himself in creation, but also through his scriptures, the law. And now what we're asking God to do in Psalm 19 is take the law, which is like the sun in creation, which illumines everything. God, now take your law and shine it in my life so that I might know myself. And that will be our focus. So we'll be singing 19A in the B selection. Does anyone want to help me lead out? So if you are on page 38 of your booklet, what we're going to do and start off with is a quiz. So I'm going to give you a quiz. I haven't done any teaching yet. This is one of the most important tests you'll ever take, more important than your SATs. And this quiz, you might think, well, I haven't studied for it. Actually, you've been studying for it all of your life because it's a quiz on how well you know yourself. And so that'll be the focus. There are two quotes at the top of your, on page 38, I want to draw your attention to tie this into the Psalter, the Psalms that we just sang. Let's see, Martin Luther in his preface to the German Psalter wrote, "If you want to see the Holy Christian Church painted in glowing colors and in a form which is really alive, and if you want this to be done in a miniature, you must get hold of the Psalter. And there you will have in your possession a fine, clear, pure mirror, which will show you what Christianity really is. Yea, you will find yourself in it. And the true, know thyself, and God himself, and all his creatures too." So we're looking into a mirror, and it is the mirror of God's word. John Calvin, in the very first sentence in his Institutes of the Christian Religion, says that nearly all the wisdom we possess, that is to say, true and sound wisdom, consists in two parts, the knowledge of God and of ourselves. So I want to see how well you know yourself. So the quiz is in front of you. On a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to rate how well you know the answers to these questions. If you want, you can jot down a few comments about that. But I'll give you about 6 or 7 minutes to do the quiz. You may start. No cheating. No looking at other people's tests. All right. Time's up. Put your pens down. No, you can finish it up if you want. All right, so what we're doing this morning is another way of looking at self-examination. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper this Lord's Day, Lord willing. And self-examination is a very important part of the Lord's Supper. I think the congregation here reads from the law of God, the Ten Commandments, before the Lord's Supper. We sang about the law in Psalm 19, again, examining ourselves. So this is another way of looking at what we do in the Lord's Supper and how important self-examination is to the Christian life and to knowledge in general. So this is open discussion, so I am going to ask you what you put down and your thoughts about how well you know God. So number one, how well do you know God based on what he has revealed to you in his word and in creation? I was wondering what you guys had put down. You put down a one. All right. So what was your thinking about? So on a scale of 1 to 10, you know God on a scale of 1. All right. Do you want to say why you feel that you know so little about God? All right. So finite creature, sinful. God is incomprehensible. Did anyone put out higher than a 1? Asher, what'd you put? 9? 7. So this is this is a huge discrepancy here. Asher's the man here. Anyone higher than Asher? So Asher, what were you thinking about the 7? What were you thinking when you put 7 down? What? Okay. All right, good. Anyone else? Abigail? Yeah, that's a really good point. So there's a difference between the head knowledge and the practical, the working it out. Good. Grace, did you have something? Right. So good. So we can know from what he has revealed everything that is necessary for our faith, life, and godliness in his word. So that's good. Anyone else have any other number they wanted to discuss? Is in your knowledge of God, Michael? You got a 3? All right. Okay. All right. General, special revelation. Daniel? Right. Yeah. All right, I put a 5 down for myself, and partly based on the new covenant. Jeremiah says in chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, that they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest. And so I do have a knowledge of God because of creation. I have a knowledge of God because he's revealed to me my sinfulness and my need for a redeemer, as we say in Psalm 19. But I have a lifetime to go and learning about God, and an eternity to go. So I put myself around the middle. Just for your thinking, and we'll move on to the next question. If we were in the first century and we could ask the scribes and the Pharisees the same question, what do you think they would put down for their answer? A 10. In reality, though, as Jesus spoke to them, how well did they know God? A 0. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you... Okay. So, yeah, they would have given themselves a 10, but in reality, in the way in which Jesus addressed them, it was a 0. So that, there's a blindness to each and every one of us. All right. Second question. How well do you know yourself? So how well do you know yourself? This should be easy because you've been living with yourself all your life. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Question. I forgot your name. I'm sorry. Jacob. All right. 7 for Jacob. What was the 7 that you gave yourself higher than your knowledge of God? How many gave yourself a lower score for your knowledge of self than God? Abigail did. Anyone else? I did too. I think with Brad, I think the more I learn about God, I also learn about myself because actually it's related. The more you learn about God, the more you learn about yourself. Hopefully, the more you learn about yourself, the more you learn about your need for Christ. So it's actually related. But there is a lot about me that I don't know. And it goes back to what Abigail said, too, for the first question. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And if you were to put me in different situations, I hope by God's Spirit and God's grace, I come forth like, you know, a Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, or Joseph. But I'm not always sure, and it keeps me humble. And praying, as Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I'm still learning about the indwelling sin within me. Brad mentioned, Pastor Brad in Romans 7, the sin that dwells within us. But I'm also learning about, in Romans 8, the spirit who dwells in me. So, all right. So, number three, how well do you know others? I'm interested in this because I actually gave myself a 4 for the last question. And for the people I know, I gave a higher answer. I give like a 6. Okay. In some ways, I think you're right. It is easier to look at others and to know them and to see other things in other people that you might not be able to see in yourself. So I think that's certainly the case in people I'm closer with. Any other thoughts about how well you know others? Yeah, you're absolutely right. People are complex. I've been married now for almost 21 years, and I still have a lot to learn about my wife, Heidi. And so the complexity of other people, I think it's not something that you can exhaust. You know, I know my wife pretty well. I don't think I'll ever know her, you know, exhaustively or comprehensively. Any other answers that you wanted to share? How well you know others? All right. How well do other people know you? Okay. So you matched it with, all right. Any other? And you give a 9 for that first circle of closeness? Okay. So for the closer people, that's a pretty high number, 9. What did you give for how well you know yourself? 7. So that others know you better. Yeah. All right, so this is going to be important for our a question later on. Is it your general think? I think from what I've heard so far, that other people know you better than yourself, at least the people you're closest to. Is that? No? Sterling, do you want to share? Okay. Yeah, I definitely hide a lot of things, too. There's a part of me that I don't want anyone to see. Part of me I actually hate. And I'm trying to put to death. So there's a lot. The problem is that part of me that I hate, it actually shows up in my relationships with other people. So they actually see it. And oftentimes I don't. Oh, good. All right. So number 5, how well do you want to know yourself as you really are? You know, we sang in Psalm 19. We sang in Psalm 139, you know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Really? How well do you really want to know yourself as you really are? Okay, so you're at about a 7. All right. Do you think I'm in my own thinking about that? I think God, in His grace, gradually reveals to me certain things about who I am, and I think I would be overwhelmed if I saw who I am, at least the indwelling sin. The more I see Christ, I'm also very hopeful. But it's a gradual thing, too, where I learn things about myself. And to be honest, I mean, when somebody, Proverbs 27 says that the rebuke of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. If anyone has ever tried correcting you or saying that you are wrong, What's your knee-jerk reaction to somebody saying you're in the wrong? If you're anything like me, well, unlike me in my unsanctified state, but you say, oh, thank you so very much. I'm so glad that you pointed out I was in the wrong. Is that usually how you respond? Why? Do you really not? As you see the dichotomy there, on the one hand, we might say, I really want to know myself. Or I don't want to know myself. But on the other hand, when other people tell us, you know, here's where you're in the wrong, we think we're in the right. How dare you? How dare you tell me I'm in the wrong? And that can be a hard thing. And as a Christian, though, as we think about knowing ourselves, if you really want to know yourself better for the sake of being conformed to Christ, you should carefully think about the corrections other people give you. The corrections come in many different shapes, sizes, forms. Sometimes it's in a mean way, but you can even learn from that. And if you really want to know yourself in Christ, you should at least sit down and say, okay, they're probably right at least a little bit. Maybe not completely right, but I do want to know myself. And I know I have blind spots about myself. I know that I have indwelling sin, so I will carefully consider that. And you're exiting the stage kind of, but, you know, you still have parents, you know, that are telling you what's right and wrong. And that can be really difficult when mom or dad says you're in the wrong or you can't do this. And you have to step back and say, okay, maybe other people do know me better than myself. Maybe I don't want to know myself as I really am. But by God's grace, I will listen, because a rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. So I will listen carefully. But that's very difficult. I haven't heard much from the corner over here, so I'll open up for the last two tables in the corner. How well does the God of the Bible know you? So yes, he knows us. Absolutely, that's right. The God of the Bible knows us inside and out. Psalm 139 speaks of that. You know that even when we are knit together in our mother's womb, God knew us. So He knew us from the time of conception. He's ordained all of our days. And Ephesians says that God knew you and me before the foundation of the world, before we even existed. It's an amazing thing, that the way in which God knows us so intimately and so thoroughly. Is that something that you are glad for? I think as a Christian, right, we would definitely be glad of that. If you are non-Christian, would you be glad about that? Yeah, you would hate God. The non-Christian says, I want nothing to do with God. And they want to flee as far away as possible from God as they can. But that's impossible. You can't do that. Any other? I think that's probably one of the easiest ones. How well does the God of the Bible know you? I think everyone have a 10 for that. All right. I think that's the easiest question. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you want to be known by God? That's right. Well, you already know, but is that the same level that you want to be known by God? Right. Yeah. And we might say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you want to be known by God? But honestly, you know, I also put a 10, but I put after that the question mark, honestly, do I really want to be known by God when I'm having a really bad day or in the midst of my sin? Sometimes it's just leave me alone. It's kind of like Peter when Jesus came up to him and Peter says to Jesus, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Of course, Jesus did it in his grace. But there are times in which we want our own maybe space. That's the indwelling sin. And we think nobody else sees us. You know, we have those places in our minds maybe that we go, places on the computer that we shouldn't go. We want God to be out of that. You can't leave him out. And it should be our prayer, God, that you would know me and that I honestly would want to be known by you so that I can know Jesus. all right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to know God? Okay. All right. So so you do want to know God as well as you know anything else. Okay. Abigail? Yeah. There you go. And that's part of the problem. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. This is Romans 7 and 8 again. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit dwells within us, but there's also the indwelling sin. Now, the one who dwells in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than that sin, and we're growing in holiness. So, yeah, it does have a dual answer, because on the one hand, you might say, how well do I want to know God? You might put it 10, but then as Abigail pointed out, how much are you seeking God on a scale of 1 to 10? So I want you to think about that. So what did you put on a scale of 1 to 10? How well do you want to know God? And I would say, you know, a 10, right? The follow-up question is, well, how much are you seeking God on a scale of 1 to 10? And why, if there is, why is there that discrepancy? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I want to know God? I give myself a 10. But when I say, how well am I seeking God to know Him? Whew. I'll give myself a 3 maybe on a good day. Maybe a little higher. But now that teaches me something about myself. Maybe it teaches you something about yourself. Why would you go from a 10 to whatever, a 5 or a 3? Why is there that disparity? So we know what we ought to be and who we're becoming in Christ. We know where we're at. And that's why there's that disparity. And you also have to ask yourself this question in knowing yourself, self-examination. If you want to know God on a scale of 1 to 10 out of 10, and you give yourself a lower number, what are you going to do to change it, to increase yourself from the actual seeking of God, where you're at, so that you are aiming for a 10? What areas of your life can you change so that you are seeking after God? And this is one of the most difficult things, because a lot of times people do not change. They say, oh, I want to know God. 10, no problem. The reality is, when you begin to examine yourself, okay, I'll just say a 5 for the sake of argument. Okay, if you're only at a 5, Aaron, what are you going to do to change? And we don't go beyond that point. And if you know yourself in that kind of way, you can say, God, help me in my slothfulness, my spiritual, I'm a sluggard. And I say I want to know you. But the reality is, I need your help and I need the strength of the Holy Spirit to make that progress. It can become very easy in your Christian life to become comfortable where you're at and not to progress in the disciplines of holiness. Know that about yourself. That's one of the ugly things about myself that I don't like to know. But I'll say, I want to know God on a scale of 10. The fact is, maybe I'm, at a 5. And I'm not doing anything more about it. And that's a very humiliating, that's a very shameful thing. And so I need to pray, God is my rock and my redeemer. Help me and strengthen me. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so I am in need of Christ's help. On a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you want to know others? Did I skip over 9? On a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah, thanks, Daniel. How well do you want others to know you? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Okay. So 9. Any other thoughts about how well? Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So in your thinking, it's a vulnerability issue. And so you don't want other people to see who you really are. And so, I actually gave myself a low number 2, right around I gave myself a 3. Because that vulnerability, I think, ultimately means you need to change. You need to do something about it. And there's also, again, a part of me, in my own thinking, you guys can chime in, but there's a part of me that I'm trying to put to death that I don't love about myself. And that's a big part. Jacob?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, and it's like Abigail brought up, there's this huge dichotomy. You can give yourself a low score, or you can give yourself a high score. This is one thing I want you to be thinking about. So I did give myself a low score. How well do I want others to know about me? I give myself a 3. Now, I'm going to add at this point, though, and this is going to sound really bad. Now I'm going to look at the opposite end of the spectrum. All right. So I give myself a low score. But I there's a part of me that I hate. And Paul talks about this in Romans 7. But I want to share something about myself with you. This is true for you if you're in Christ. I'm a really great person. I am so wonderful because of who I am in Christ. And so on that level, I want to be known in terms of a 10. I ask you guys to have your Bibles. So if you could get your Bibles out, there are 4 passages I want you to look up. First passage is Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29. Could I have a volunteer for that? All right. I will take Timothy. Timothy, Romans 8, 29. I need 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. All right, Michael. Next passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Christy, and I need 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Abigail. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And so as we think about who I am, there's a part of me and of you, if you are in Christ, that you are being remade after the image of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing greater or better that could be said about you or me than that. That's why I'm saying I am a great person. It's not me in and of myself. It's my union. It's my relationship to Jesus Christ. And it's because of his greatness. And that's why I'm so excited about who I am and who I'm becoming. I'm becoming more and more like Christ. And this is one of the great hopes of the gospel. If you're outside of Christ, who you are becoming, you're just getting older and older and older, and you're going to die and you're going to be buried. That's who you're becoming. But if you're in Christ, you're being transformed and conformed to his likeness and his image. So the first passage, as we think about who we are in our relationship to Christ, is Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Tim, could you read that? Yep, just verse 29. All right, so Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 that we were predestined. If you are in Christ, you are predestined for greatness. And that greatness is in Christ. You are predestined to be conformed to Christ. So to the extent of your knowledge of the glory and the beauty and the majesty of Christ. We sang about that in Psalm 93 when Pastor Brad was going over the structure of the Psalter. God is clothed with splendor and majesty. Well, we're reflecting that. We're being remade after his image. And that is the purpose of our predestination. That is who or what I am becoming in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Michael. All right. Did you know that that's about who you are? Who you are in Christ is so great. No eye has seen it. No ear has heard it about who we are becoming in Jesus. Do you think about yourself as we talk about know thyself? Do you think about yourself and other Christians in these terms? A lot of times you can look at other Christians And it could be your parents, it could be your siblings, it could be people in the church, and you might look at who they are. And we're still struggling with sin, right? We see sin in other people, the specks in their eye. much better than we see the log in our own eye. But when you look at yourself and others, one of the overriding and most important ways you can think about yourself is who you are in Jesus and who you are becoming and who others around you are becoming. That is the glorious message of the resurrection of Jesus. All right, the next passage, Christy, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So that's such a wonderful passage. So we all, as in a mirror, you're beholding the glory of Christ, and you're being transformed into that glory of Christ through the Holy Spirit. This, if you are in Christ, this is who He is, and this is who you are becoming. This is who you now are, and who you are becoming. It's very important as Christians that we have this mindset, because the world will look at you outside of Christ and the world will judge you based on other things that are passing away. That's not who I am. So who I am, I'm not ultimately made up of the clothing I wear or the fancy white van that I drive with 15 kids in the back of it. That's ultimately, thankfully, not ultimately who I am, right? The world will judge you, though. They'll see me driving that van and say, oh, you know, there's this poor guy with, you know, a huge family, Mr. Duggar, right? Something like that. But no, you can't allow other people to make those judgments about you, because the judgment about who you are has already been handed down at the cross in the death of Jesus for your sins. God has already judged you. And He has already judged you in Christ in your righteousness. You are clothed in His righteousness. And so let God's word, let Christ's work, His person and work, shape and transform the way in which you think about yourself. Because the world will lie to you. The devil will deceive you. He hates the gospel. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates the children of Christ. And he will try judging you according to the standard of this world. But no, that judgment has already been given, and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's who I am. So the world, you have this peer pressure, and it's a constant struggle. But you have to continue remembering who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. In self-examination, this is critical. So we remember, and we examine ourselves, we see more and more our sinfulness, but we see more and more our need for Christ and who we are in Christ. And I know it sounds like a boasting or arrogant, but if I say I'm a great person, it's not anything who I am in myself. It's who Christ is. And that's why I'm so excited about who I am. It's because I'm so excited about Christ. And so it's a very different way of looking at ourselves. So the final passage is 1 John 3 and verses 1 through 3. Abigail, could you read that? So how well do we know ourselves based on 1 John 3? What we will be has not yet been made known. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. We do know we will be conformed to the likeness of Christ. We do know that we have the highest of all privileges. We are the adopted children of God through faith in Jesus. And in biblical times, you know, to be adopted in the household of a king, that's where the Caesars came from. You were a son of Caesar, you were adopted into that household. You are children of the King of the universe. You're children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. So how well do you know yourself? How well do I know myself? Well, in those terms of the return of Christ and the hope of glory, I have no idea. But it's far above anything I could ever imagine. Is there anything you wanted to add about who you are and who you are becoming in Jesus? How can you help other people who aren't Christians, your own peers, the kind of hope that we find in the gospel? For the non-Christian, do they have this kind of hope? How would you describe their circumstances outside of Christ? Yeah, that's exactly right, Sterling. Meaningless? Do you really believe that? So
how much, and how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to share Christ with others? And I hope and I pray that it's increasing, because the more I know of God's love for me, the more I want to make that love known, because the world outside of Christ has absolutely no hope of glory. So the death of Jesus on the cross, for that part of me that I hate, my sin, the resurrection, the new heart that comes through the regeneration, being born again from the Spirit, and the hope and how I'm being conformed to the likeness of Christ, that is the greatest news for me, and I want that for everyone else. And so I want others to know God. The final thing I want to close with, I hope I'm not over time too much. I have one more question for you to think about. It's not on your outline. I want you to think about this question. Who are you in relationship to the church? Okay, so we've been looking at who are we in relationship to Christ. But Jesus has a bride. And Jesus has the bride, the church. And so as we think about who we are, it's both individual, because there has to be an individual repentance. There has to be an individual confession of Jesus as my Lord, my Redeemer. But there's also a corporate aspect to who we are in Christ, in our relationship to the Bride of Christ. So who are you in relationship to the church? Because the church isn't simply a place where we go. It's who we are. Remember, John Calvin said, "Nearly all the wisdom we possess, that is to say, true and sound wisdom, consists in two parts, the knowledge of God and of ourselves." And so I'll leave you with these questions in your relationship to the church. Are you a baptized member? Are you a communicant member? As a baptized member, I think probably all of you are baptized as infants. Whether or not, I'm not really. You may have been baptized an infant, and that's very important to be baptized. You must be baptized in the name. That's part of my identity. Who are you? I'm Aaron Gerner. But more important than that, I'm in Christ, and I've been baptized into the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you also, are you a communicant member? Have you confessed? Has there been a work of God the Spirit in your heart, convicting you of your own sin and your own unrighteousness and your need, your personal need for a relationship to Jesus Christ? And have you made that confession publicly in the context of the church and becoming a communicant member? So this is one of the most important things we can say about ourselves and our knowledge of self. Who am I? It's my relationship to Jesus Christ, and it's my relationship to His bride, the church.